Well, welcome again to this last episode on those wonderful men, those wonderful kings, David and Solomon. And as we've said before, surely the two best known, best loved kings that ever lived in the history of mankind. Well, we have looked at David. David, a man after God's own heart, a man who failed God, but as we know from the Word of God that the righteous can fall seven times and God brings them back, because David had a heart after the heart of God, and although he fell in this sin with Bathsheba, yet he was truly penitent. He found his way back to God, and God blessed his latter days in a remarkable fashion. He became great on every side, and God increased the anointing and revelation that he gave to David. And David wrote so many of his psalms after his restoration. And he glorified God, he acknowledged his iniquity. God forgave him, although there were 15 judgments at least that came upon David because of his sin. Yet David maintained his integrity before God and followed the Lord unto a ripe old age of 70, and there he handed over the kingdom to the man of God's choice, his son, Solomon, from his union with Bathsheba. We have seen that David and Bathsheba realized the weaknesses that they had passed on to Solomon, especially the weakness of women. And so they had instructed him for those first 19 years of his life to prepare him to rule over this nation of God, Israel. Well, Solomon, even King David, his father, acknowledged at a very early age, he said, "Thou art a wise man." Wise man, still in his teens, but David, who had great discernment and understanding of men, looked at his son and said, "Thou art a wise man." And he gave him instructions concerning how he should deal with some of the enemies of King David that David wasn't able to deal with, and how he must execute judgment and justice concerning those who had turned away, like Joab, the general of his army, Adonijah, who rushed into the vacuum as David lay on his deathbed and proclaimed himself king, and yet God had promised the throne to Solomon. And then Shimei, who had cursed David when he was fleeing from his son Absalom, one of the judgments, his adultery with Bathsheba. Well, he gave instructions how to deal with these men, and Solomon carried them out. And here we have a situation where a young man was given all that anyone could desire: a kingdom, honor, and glory, and God had given him wisdom. But you know, in the book of Proverbs, we find many interesting statements. If only King Solomon had listened to his own instructions that he had given to others, how different his life could have been. One of them, of course, was an inheritance quickly gotten is not blessed in the end. You see, it is a fact that if a person is given something and they haven't earned it, they don't appreciate it as someone who has paid the price for that gift. David, you see, was quite different to Solomon. David had been anointed perhaps at the same age as His son Solomon, 17 to 19 years of age, was anointed by Samuel to be king. But he did not enter into the throne room till about 13 years later. Those 13 years were years of great trials, sorrow, and hardship, David. When, therefore, he partially entered into the promises of God at the age of 30, becoming king of Judah, he still had many battles, and then eventually he became king over the whole of Israel at approximately the age of 37 and a half. He had earned that right under God. And even afterwards, his life was a life of battles against the Philistines, against the nations around, the Arab nations around. Yes, David had paid a tremendous price for the position that he eventually attained. David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he brought forth many truths in over 70 psalms that he wrote. And also, the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs must be attributed to David. Instruction to Solomon. Also, he gave much instruction concerning wisdom. And in Psalm 51, at the age of about 50, he said, thou desirest truth on the inward parts, and in the innermost being thou wilt make me to understand wisdom. He understood that the truth that he had must be a part of him. Well, Solomon had an intellectual understanding of these things. He was clothed with the spirit of wisdom, and he retained that wisdom throughout the whole of his life. You see, it's a fact that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, and what God gives, you know, remains irrespective of what the vessel in which God places that gift does. We see that in the life of Solomon. Well, Solomon had all these riches, all these honors at an early age. As we've said before, Solomon was a prolific writer. And he wrote 1,005 songs, and 5 are conserved for us in the book of the Song of Solomon. And he speaks of his earlier puzzles, you know, his early love for the Lord, and how beautiful and how full of revelation concerning the union and communion of the believer with Christ, the Song of Songs is. I commend that you read it. And then he wrote and compiled a lot of the book of Proverbs, and Hezekiah, a later king, his men finished it off, but they were all Proverbs of King Solomon. You know, there the maturity of life, you know, at the zenith of his life, the age of about 43, he had finished the temple, he'd finished his own house, and here the glory of the kingdoms came unto him. Queen of Sheba, the other kings around him, remarked at the greatness of the splendor of Solomon. But here, a tragic note enters into his life. You see, although he could instruct others, he himself did not follow his own precepts. That's one of the things that pastors and teachers should pay heed to. The things that God speaks to us and we teach to others. You know, Paul made this point concerning the Jews. He said, look, you know the law, you teach others. You tell others not to commit sin. You tell others not to commit adultery, not to commit idolatry, not to steal. But he says, you do the very things that you tell others not to do. See, so many pastors and leaders I have known over the years, and I've been over 50 years in the ministry. You know, I have known them teach and preach such wonderful truths, but they themselves do not keep the precepts. And they have said to me, you know, when their sins have been discovered and exposed by God, after a long time, God giving them opportunity to repent, but they don't repent, and so God reveals their sins. And they've said to me, well, we thought that our preaching would save us. I think in a certain sense, that's how Solomon felt. You know, in Ecclesiastes, he introduces himself in a very interesting fashion. He said, I was the preacher in Jerusalem. You know, he wasn't just the king, but he took a very active life, an active part, if I could say that, in the spiritual life of the nation. He was the preacher. He was a preacher. He would stand up Sabbath after Sabbath, and probably during the week too, and teach all those that came to him. He was a preacher. So he wasn't just a king, but he was a preacher. In other words, he knew doctrine. He knew the word of God. He preached it. He taught others, but himself he did not teach. You know, the third book he wrote was the book of Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes, in a certain sense, you could say, was a teaching book. And it was really a record, an inner testimony of the life of King Solomon. And it was tragic. You know, the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes, and remember this was written in his old age, was one of vanity. All is vanity. Vanity, vanity, vanity. All is life. All this life is just vanity. Well, that's not true. That's not true. You know, King David made this point about wisdom, that the purpose of wisdom was to cause us to inherit substance. Well, you can't say substance is vanity. No, if we have the wisdom of God, we are indeed piling up for ourselves substance in heaven above. A wise man, you know, lays solid foundation, and his fruit abides unto many generations. No, Solomon was wrong when he said all was vanity. Solomon, indeed, could well say that what he did was vanity, but in actuality, he could not truthfully say that all was vanity. Because if we are working for God, then our works remain. And also in the book of Revelation it says, blessed are he that dieth in the Lord, and his work shall follow him. His work shall follow him. Why was Solomon saying these things? In fact, his testimony of himself was like this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13 he said this, a poor but wise child is better than an old and foolish king who will no longer be admonished. That was what Solomon was in his latter days, an old and foolish king. Foolish? But you're the wisest man who ever lived. Foolish in the sense that he could teach others, but himself he could not teach. Now, what were the causes of his failure? Well, he did not listen to the warnings of his father, David, his mother, Bathsheba. One of the things that King Solomon said, he said, everything I saw, I took. In other words, he said, I denied mine eyes nothing. I denied mine eyes nothing. Oh, he said, I built buildings. I built houses, I built gardens, I got servants, I got maidservants. He had a fantastic household. He got himself cattle. Everything he desired, he appropriated for himself. And he could well do, because his wisdom produced much riches for the kingdom. Because, you see, because of his wisdom, nations would come to him. The Queen of Sheba came with an extraordinary number of gifts, and all were given to Solomon. So the other kings did. So he became extremely rich because of his wisdom. And so therefore he had all the money that he could desire. And so anything he wanted, he could get. You see. And you know, greed, that was his problem. Greed produces lust and immorality. And so we have, therefore, him not only appropriating tangible things, but appropriating women. About 1,000 wives. Can you imagine what his household would like? Oh, chaos. Oh, must have been terrible. Of all those women together. And it was interesting, you see. He had a navy too. And that navy was sent out on yearly expeditions to other countries, and it brought back gold, silver, ivory. But also, we're told, he got apes and peacocks. Now, animals have spiritual signification. Apes or monkeys speak of lust and sensuality, immorality. And peacocks speak of pride. And certainly those two, if I could say this, cardinal sins were the undoing of King Solomon. Peacocks, pride. The Lord Jesus made a remark concerning King Solomon, and he said, "Consider the lilies of the valley. Solomon in all his glory was not clothed upon like one of these." Well, the Lord was really saying in that statement that Solomon bedecked himself with the finest of all clothing in that day. All the jewels that could be obtained and existed, he clothed himself with. Very much like Satan, as portrayed by the king of Tyre in Ezekiel 27 and 28. And the result was, you see, that King Solomon, through his greed, through his pride, through his desire for earthly things, it ran into immorality, and he had all these wives. Now God has specifically said in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 17 that kings were not to multiply wives unto themselves. And he gives a reason. The reason being was this, that they would turn his heart to other gods. You see, King Solomon did not obey really any of the laws of God concerning women, because he saw women from other nations, desired them, and took them to himself. But these women came along with worship not of the true God of Israel, but the worship of all these other gods. And so this marvelous temple that King Solomon had constructed from the pattern that David had given, a temple that magnified and manifested the wisdom and the laws of God, the like of which no one had ever constructed before or afterwards, was then opposed across the valley in the other hills by other temples that King Solomon built. Temples to heathen gods. And so, the son of David, who so loved God and worshipped God in spirit and in truth, now divides the worship in Israel between the temple of God and these other temples. Something like the world of today. You know, people are saying the three main religious systems, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. My Lord, how terrible that statement is. There is only one true God, and that is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The others are not right. Islam, led by the prophet Muhammad, the false prophet who shall arise in the book, as it said in Revelation 13, and who worship not the true God, but devils. How can you possibly say three great religions? There's only one true religion. You know, that was made very clear in the Temple of Solomon. Only one door, only one way in, and there were the conditions. Well, Solomon corrupted worshipping God. Do you know what happens when one corrupts the worship and one has a division, as Solomon perpetrated in Israel, a division between the worship of the true God and the worship of these other false gods? Well, judgment came. And how did judgment came? God raised up enemies. He raised up, if you like, terrorists. He raised up terrorists, those who would terrorize Israel during the latter part of Solomon's reign. Aren't we seeing that today? Terrorism throughout the world, because the nations have ceased to worship the one and true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. They've corrupted worship, they've brought other things in, and the result is we have terrorism, as Solomon did. Well, the judgment continued, and there was a prophet, Ahijah, and he met one of the servants of Solomon, Jeroboam, whom Solomon had recognized as a very industrious man, raised him up and gave him authority over his other workers. And here he was, clothed in a new garment, and Ahijah tore the garment off him, ripped it up into 12 pieces. He said, "Take 10. He said, "You will be the ruler over the 10 tribes of Israel, but two, Judah and Benjamin, will be given to the son of Solomon, for David's sake." He said, "Because of Solomon's disobedience, I am going to divide Israel." You know, Solomon had divided the worship, and therefore God divided the kingdom after his death. You know, another interesting point is this. You see, the one who succeeded Solomon was Rehoboam. And his mother was a heathen woman. A heathen woman. And so he himself, you know, was a product of true worship and false worship. A mixture. God hates mixture. He made it very clear in the Word of God. Mixture he hates. Well, Solomon brought in mixture. He brought in mixture in his own life. And so he ended up as a miserable old king. Foolish. Who could not be admonished. Now we want to look at it from this point of view. Are we going to end up like Solomon? Good beginning, a bad ending? No, we have no need to. Because there are promises in the Word of God by the Apostle Peter, who said, and if we take these 8 steps of faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness and love, you know what Peter promises us that we will have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of heaven, and we shall not fail. Solomon failed because he neglected to walk in the precepts of the Word of God. But if we will walk in the precepts of the Word of God, and we will indeed not only teach what is right, but we will practice what is right, then indeed we will not fail like Solomon. Oh, do you know, Solomon was so good telling others what to do. But oh, what a failure he was in his own life. Well, what was the closing words of Solomon? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then he says, in the last two verses, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Well, let us learn from King Solomon. Yes, good start, bad finish, but if we would obey what he taught, we could walk, as King David said, on the pathway of righteousness that goes ever more bright unto the perfect day. May we learn from the failings of Solomon and not be like him, but keep the commandments of God, and in so doing we shall have, as Peter said, an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God, and we shall never fail. That is my prayer for each one of us who are listening to this message. God bless you.
This series has been presented by Zion Fellowship of Waverly, New York. The teaching you just heard from Dr. Bailey is based on his book, Studies in the Life of David and Solomon. We at Zion Chapel strongly encourage and endorse church attendance. Perhaps you appreciate the ministry of Dr. Bailey and would like to attend one of our services, or perhaps you have been looking for a church. Why not join us this morning at 11 o'clock for our Sunday morning service? Zion Chapel is located above O'Brien's Hotel and Restaurant in Waverly, New York. The other service times are posted on your screen. A warm welcome awaits you. We trust today's message has been a blessing to you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. We look forward to meeting with you next week at the same time. God bless you.